The Words with Chris and Drew podcast is part of Podnos, the UK's leading independent entertainment podcasting network. For episode archives of Words with Chris and Drew and all of the shows on the network, visit us at www.podnos.com. You can also follow us on Twitter by @Podnos or send us an email by admin@podnos.com.
Podcast.
Right.
Music. Everybody.
Yeah, hello.
Episode, you just say what episode it is.
26.
26, cool.
We're halfway through this series.
We are, yeah.
Oh my God.
We've had some good times.
Yeah.
And more to come, right? Yeah.
Woo!
So, yeah, just to give you a summation of what's going to be in this episode. We got questions, as usual. Andrew's got a joke that he's promised me is short.
Go, do you remember? Still doing jokes, are we?
Yeah, you saw...
After the, well, I was about to say shitstorm, but that kind of over-eggs the custard a little bit, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
After the disagreement that it inspired amongst several listeners.
Got a bit upset with your joke last week, I think.
Yeah, well, you know. That's why we did the little poll at the start of this series.
We did ask if people still wanted the joke, and we got the response was in the affirmative, so don't blame us.
Amazing voter turnout.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
An entire two people voted.
Yeah.
The will of the people.
I'm sure those two people loved it.
I think Emily was actually one of the people who said yes.
Was she? Yeah. I thought it was Scott and Julian. I think,
well, maybe it was three then.
All right, well, but Emily wasn't too happy with it.
She didn't like last week's joke. And,
no, neither did I, to be fair.
Oh, well.
But, you know, you got another go at it this week, you know, to pull something out of the bag.
See if I can redeem myself in the eyes of all these ingrates.
Oh!
Yeah, give them an hour's free entertainment a week.
Yeah,
yeah, well.
Get slated. Well, yeah, well, we've also got, obviously, as is every week, Jigsaw Jamboree. Portion 6.
Yeah.
And this week we have a special feature... which we spoke about last week, which is Drew versus Provender. Now, we have just put a post out saying if people would like to have a guess at how many cocktail sausages Andrew could fit in his mouth at one time. This is obviously without swallowing them. He just needs to fit as many in as possible. Then they can guess on the Facebook. And the winner wins... a brand new box of cocktail sausages that haven't been in Andrew's mouth.
Yeah, I think you probably prefer those.
Yep. So,
why is it always me that has to do these?
Because I think that's more entertaining.
Why?
Because it's you. We're like, you're not used to doing these things, these silly things.
How many times have
you... You're a sensible man.
How many times have you crammed zillions of sausages?
I've never done it.
Maybe you should have a go as well.
I might have a go, we'll just see how you get on first.
I think I speak for the listeners when they say, actually, it'd be quite fun if everyone had a go.
Well, everyone, if you're at home and you want to try this...
Yeah, join in. Send us your results.
Yeah, see if you can beat Andrew's score.
Yeah, yeah.
See, this is what I was going to say. Are you sure you want me to have a go? Because I don't want to have to beat you at another thing.
Oh, yeah, very good.
So
very good. No, to be honest, I mean, I don't mind losing this one.
Oh, right. Yeah. You still got to try, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because people could be guessing.
I'll try my best.
All right, good.
I think we ought to practice the old Heimlich manoeuvre, maybe.
Nah, it'd be fine.
Well, I don't want to die if and say good.
Well, although that would be a pretty funny way to go.
I mean, this little show of ours is fun, but I wouldn't die for it.
No. But I mean, you won't die from it. Probably. Right, shall we crack on?
Well, I'm not going anywhere for the next 50 minutes, so why not?
All right then. Steve Watling.
Hey, Steve. Long time no question. What's going on, man?
Oh, well. You having a go at him already?
No, not at all.
All right. You just miss him.
No.
Misses.
Just miss you.
Yeah. He's quite a good question, actually. He said, after watching the Paralympics and being blown away... it did raise the question, if you can run 100 metres in just over 10 seconds, should you get a blue badge for parking? And he said, I couldn't run 10 metres in 10 seconds.
Well, the point I would make is that I think the only way you could possibly enforce this is, like, when people apply for their blue badges, the authorities would have to say, prove that you're not a Paralympic athlete.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bit not cool.
No, not really. Do you think that Paralympians have blue badges and stuff?
I have no idea.
Because, I mean,
maybe some do.
They're still disabled, aren't they?
Maybe some don't. I don't know.
That's quite an interesting one, actually. Because, I mean, Steve does raise a good point.
Yeah, but I think it's, you can't very well say to every disabled person ever, oh, well, you see, these Paralympians, they're not complaining. Yeah. You know, I think that's sort of like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not very good, is it?
No, I mean, it's not really a way of, like, if someone just parks in a disabled space and you're going up and be like, hey, 100-metre race now.
Well, that would be a worry. That would set a worrying precedent, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we've got to say, yeah, you still should be able to get your...
Yeah, you know, I would say if you satisfy all of the relevant criteria.
Yeah. I do wonder, though.
You still get your blue badge.
I do wonder now you said it, about Paralympians. Do you think they do get that kind of treatment? There's no reason why
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know any Paralympians.
No, it's brought up a lot of questions, though.
Well, there was a thing that one of the Paralympic events the other day, I think it was one of the distance events.
Yeah.
I don't remember which event it was. It was one of the running events.
Yeah.
And, like, the three dudes that came first, second and third, or something like that, in the equivalent event in the Olympics last month, they each would have landed on the medal table or something like that.
All right.
Or they would have finished in the top five out of everyone.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I think, you know, food for thought.
Do you think you could beat a Paralympian in a 100-metre race?
No. Because I'm fantastically out of shape.
Yeah.
And even in my physical prime, I don't think I could...
Compete. When was that?
Oh, well, you know.
No, I don't.
Back when...
it can't have been when I knew you.
It was back when Robot Wars was originally on the telly.
Mm.
I was fit as a fiddle then. I used to play football, like, twice a week. Had the PE at school twice a week.
Yeah.
Went to taekwondo once a week. I was, yeah. Yeah. I was about to say solid. I've never been solid.
No, I can't. I don't think I'd use that word to describe you.
No, I was in good
flimsy
shape. Oh yeah, I've always
frail.
Been. Frail, yeah. Crumbling sandcastle.
Crumbling sandcastle springs to mind, and dying tree.
Dying tree, all the usual things.
Yeah, the kind of biscuit that would melt after one dunk.
But you know, in terms of, like, cardio and all the rest of it, I was in very, very good shape at that point.
I believe
I'm not anymore, though.
No.
Because I don't play football anymore. Don't do taekwondo anymore. Certainly don't have PE anymore.
No, maybe we should. Maybe we should once a week meet PE. Up and just work out.
Work out? I haven't been to a gym. Like,
we could just go for a jog.
The last time I tried to go for a jog, do you know what happened?
No, go on.
It was almost exactly the same as what happened in that episode of Peep Show, when Mark tries to go jogging with Bixus, and, like, literally after 20 seconds he has to stop.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened to me.
Well, that's why you've got to carry on.
No, that's why you've got to stop.
No, that's why you need to persevere, and eventually you won't feel like you're going to die after running 20 feet.
Where are we going to run around then?
I don't know, I don't mind. Somewhere where we can both get to easily and just.
Thing is, I've got to drive out though
to
like come here.
Or I could, no, you could run here.
Well, from your house. 8 miles.
Yeah, then I could run to your house with you. So you've run double. No, it doesn't work.
No,
we'll just meet up, go for a run,
do a jog. What about Keston Ponds? We were there the other day.
Yeah, we could do that.
Do a few circuits of that.
This is never going to happen.
No, it's never ever. We're just going to sit here stuffing as many cocktails into our faces as we possibly can.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Cheers, Steve.
Well done, Steve.
Katie Golding.
Hello, Katie Golding.
She got two questions.
Jolly good.
First one. What's the worst thing you've done as a dare or that you've dared someone else to do? Done many dares?
I don't think I have, to be honest, you know. I always chickened out.
Oh, you're one of them.
One of those cowards.
Yeah.
have you done any dares or made people do dares?
Probably back in the day, but I'm struggling to remember any. There's not enough dares. The truth or dare is a popular game. There's not enough of that going on nowadays.
I suspect it's still a thing. I just think it's the fact that we're in our early 30s and late 20s respectively.
Yeah.
That we're probably a bit out of touch with it.
A little bit past it, I guess.
Yeah.
Have you ever dared anyone to do anything?
Not.
Oh, I remember a brilliant one. Were you there? I can't remember. I remember I was definitely with Jason and Jamie.
Okay.
At a really shit gig. And
which one?
Basically there was like, I'm sure it was like someone had, it was like a birthday party thing as well. So there was a lot of like, you know, middle-aged women there, like preparing food and buffet and stuff. And it was in like a church hall type thing. Right. So you'd go out of the church hall where the little gig was, and there'd be all this food and stuff. But then there was this little kitchenette.
Was this a gig you played?
Yeah.
Okay.
We all got drunk and stuff at the end, having a laugh. Like, and then we were like eating some cake, and there was a lady in the kitchen through this door, probably about 30, 40 meters away from where we were, and they said, "I dare you to throw a slice of cake at this woman's head."
I remember this. I wasn't there, but I remember one of you had this on video.
There was a video of it as well. God, where's that video? I need to find
and
that.
So, yeah, you weren't even like aiming, were you?
No.
You just kind of like just blithely tossed it.
Yeah.
And it
hit her right in the face.
Yeah, yeah. And then you say to the camera, "Oh shit, I'm going to die." Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
This is you, age 16 or 17, isn't it?
Very
or
young.
Something like that.
Very young. And I got dared to do that and did it. And
do you ever feel ashamed about that sort of
thing? I do. I'd put it out of my mind for a long time. Yeah, I feel pretty bad about it now. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. How do you sleep at night?
I don't know.
Chucking cake. Yeah. You know, that woman slaved over an oven to make that cake, setting the whole thing up.
No, I remember.
And what
do
you do?
Now.
You literally throw it in her face.
But I know why now, because she came over to us as we were like all tucking into the buffet and started packing it all away, and we were like putting it in the bin. And then she like had a go at us for something. So we were all like, she was like the enemy at this point. So then Jason and Jamie were like, I dare you, go on, throw the cake at her, I was like, fine, it won't hit her though. Straight through this little door, bam, right in the face. I turned around so quick, like, oh no, that was that was bad. Yeah, I do feel guilty about it now. Oh well. That's the last dare I can remember. So there you go. It's pretty bad. Why are you shaking your head at me? All right, fine, we'll move on. Our second question was underwear, right?
Okay.
What's your preference out of these selections?
All right, now I do remember seeing this one on the old on the thread.
There was a picture.
There was a very helpful accompanying chart.
Yeah.
So
there was boxers, boxer briefs, a mini S string, which I'm not sure what that is.
I've got the chart here, so...
A mini brief, briefs, tanga, long johns, a thong, open briefs, or a C-string.
Yes. Yeah. So I have to confess, the chart was extremely helpful, because a lot of these I wouldn't know what they are.
I've never heard of a C-string until...
Yeah, yes. So for anyone who's like not familiar with it, the best way I can describe it is like a small windsock on the end of a hook, basically. Yeah.
That hooks around to the butt.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. What's the picture for the mini S string? Because I don't even know what that is.
The mini S string. Do you mean mini string?
I thought it said mini S string, but maybe it's just mini.
I think you've missed. You've got it wrong there.
What's the mini string?
Mini string. I think it's basically a wind sock, but with a waistband.
Oh, similar.
Yeah, similar notion, basically.
Okay. So. Out of all of those...
All of that lot. What's my personal preference?
Yeah.
I think the old boxer... You can't go wrong with the boxer brief, can you? really, to be honest with you.
I'm more of a boxer man, but boxer.
Really?
Yeah.
No, so I've never really. You know, I've used boxers before, but obviously, but
used. Yeah,
no, I've used them before, but I find less comfortable. I find.
Fair enough. Each to their own, I suppose.
You know, they don't offer
the same.
I can see
you in long johns.
Well, I have worn long johns on occasion, but the caveat being this is only like when I've like gone skiing or something and it's bloody cold, or sometimes during the winter where I know I'm going to be sitting outdoors for hours. So yeah, sometimes I wear them to the football, you know, particularly when it gets down to like minus whatever.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Whatever happened to your Go Commando pants?
I think I threw them out, to be honest.
Oh, why?
Well, you know how like all pants get, you know, eventually the actual pants start to break away from the waistband.
Oh, yeah.
It just, you know, it got to the point where it was just ridiculous.
No, fair enough.
So, you know, they had to go, basically.
Oh, well.
But yeah, I mean, some of these are just bloody extraordinary, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
I think we should just, should we offer like a quick description of some of these?
Go for it.
I mean, well,
what's the Tanga? That was a weird one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure really how I would describe that. It's like,
it looks like sort of a jock strap.
Yeah.
With, I don't know, like, I don't know what to do, like some lining around
I guess the way I would describe it is like the front of it is like, at the front it's like Y fronts.
Yeah.
But at the back it's like boxes or something.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. Yeah. What else is on here? I like the way the boxers have got a nice sort of tartan pattern.
Yeah. I mean, I think my main problem with boxers is that they don't really offer any support.
Hang on, show me that again. Maybe boxer briefs.
Yeah,
that is what I meant. I thought boxer briefs were the more like, they're like tiny shorts, aren't they?
Yeah. So yeah, that's rubbish. Wait, which one do you dislike?
I dislike briefs. I like boxer briefs.
Boxer briefs, yes, quite so.
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, then again, I mean, I think I prefer, you know, boxers, fine, but, you know,
I find they're too, like, they flap around too much. And they get crumpled up.
They get crumpled up, and they offer absolutely no support.
Like, yeah, pretty much.
You know, and that's important.
Yeah, you got boxer briefs.
You got to look after the old gearbox.
Yeah, you do. All right, thank you, Katie. All right, Carl Smith. He's drinking tea. Can I just point out my special mug? I'd like to thank Emma Chandler for purchasing while she was in Disneyland. She bought me a lovely gift, which is Bruce from Finding Nemo.
It is rather good.
Mug. It's massive. It's the this is the first time I'm having a tea out of it, actually. It's a little bit too much tea, if anything. It's probably going to be...
That's a non sequitur right there.
It's probably going to be a little bit cold.
Those are three words which should never belong together in a sentence, ever.
Too much tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair point. Carl Smith.
Hello, Carl Smith.
If you had to, what tattoo would you get?
If I had to?
Yeah, you got no choice in the matter. We've had this discussion many a time. Jason's determined to
get me a few times, isn't he?
He's mentioned the T-Rex riding a shark.
Yeah, with a banner that says Pro Rock.
Yeah.
Which
I still think you should get that.
Six years ago, which is when I initially sort of hit upon that idea.
Yeah.
That kind of summed up my philosophy.
Fairly
well. And I'd still say that I have a Pro Rock.
Yeah.
Outlook. Right. Generally. But, you know,
would you still have Pro Rock, but would the picture be different?
I don't think I'd have the T-Rex riding a shark anymore.
What would you have instead?
You know, I think 6 years, you get a bit of perspective on your life and things, and you think, that's not good.
All right. So what would you have instead?
What's popular in the tattoo world these days?
I don't know.
Because I know it sort of goes through its own trends.
In
the 90s, everyone was getting tribal tattoos, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, dot work, I think, is quite popular at the moment.
What's dot work when it's at home?
So, like, where it's the image is made up of lots of dots, like shaded, so some will be darker and lighter, and it will create an image.
Oh, is it like
Jason's hand? Have you seen the one on Jason's hand that's like a little... I think it's a little woodland scene. Sarah did it.
Is it fairly recent?
Yeah.
I'll have a look at his hands next time I see him.
Is it
sort of like Matisse, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's an interesting.
I've seen quite a lot of that going on at the moment.
That's an interesting thing. I'll have
a. So like mandalas as well, which are like sort of symmetrical patterns.
Right.
Like that.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, you've got to have to consider two things though, right? You've got to like get a design that you like. But you've also got to give some thought as to where it's going as well. Like, which part of you is it going
to... Well, which part of you, first of all, would you get tattooed if you had to?
What's a good place to start if you're a complete beginner?
Well, I started on my forearm. But I'd say if you're a complete beginner, maybe just start on the top of the arm.
See, this is a problem because...
You've got no arms.
I do, but...
How do you tattoo a noodle?
Yes, quite. that's actually quite a good summary of the problem right there.
I mean... For that reason, I think you'd be better off on maybe the back of your forearm.
Right.
Yeah.
But what would I get there then?
Is there
any space there?
There's enough space there for something.
Hmm.
We're talking about it like you literally have noodles.
Yeah.
For your arms.
I could get some spaghetti on there, I suppose.
You could.
Get some...
Just get...
yeah.
Just some spaghetti.
Just some spaghetti doing a nice pattern.
Yeah. Just like, like a mandala, but with spaghetti.
Yeah, why not? Well, do tattoos need to be deep and meaningful, though?
No, they don't have to be.
I don't know, man. Because, I know a lot of people get sort of musical-themed tattoos, don't they? You know.
Yeah.
And people get silly lyrics from songs.
Silly lyrics from songs.
I don't know. I mean, I think one of the things that would put me off tattoos in general is the fact that, I mean, obviously it's a conversation starter, right?
It is. Well, I don't think that's the main reason to get.
No. But inevitably, if you're meeting someone
goes, "What does that mean?" Or
yeah, and I think I'm the sort of person who would kind of perceive that rather than someone innocently asking. Yeah. I'd always interpret that as being asked to sort of justify it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, I expect you probably get the same thing.
Oh, yeah, I get it with a couple of mine, but I mean...
Is it sort of like genuinely... is it like genuine curiosity, or do you find it's like having to justify it?
I think it depends, like, because the one on my arm here that's like more like a big design rather than like a word or, like you say, with lyrics... That kind of thing, that's if it's just a design, then I don't find there's any particular reason to say to someone, "Oh, what does that mean?" Because it doesn't mean anything. It's just it is a piece of art in itself, so it's there for its own reasons. But I mean, if someone's got lyrics, then you might say, "Oh, why did you get that?"
Mm.
It's obviously going to have a deeper meaning to that person because it's words.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the reasons why actually I don't I generally don't. Comment on people's tattoos actually a lot of the time.
Yeah,
because it's like people are probably sick of.
Yeah, because I mean
having to walk people through it.
Yeah.
Unless it's someone I know, like if it's like you or Jason or Jamie or someone, one of our friends.
Yeah.
And they've got a new piece, and you can tell it's a new piece because obviously it's quite shiny, or they've got the wrapping on it and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a talking point, you know.
Yeah.
But like in general, just.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Plus that you have to. If someone does have a tattoo that you personally think looks terrible,
you have to
have that conversation where you're like, "Oh, that's really cool."
Yeah. And I just keep it to myself.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I.
What if someone with a terrible tattoo came up to you and went, "What do you think of my tattoo, Andrew? Would you lie to them?"
Yeah.
Because it's difficult because they've got it on them forever.
Yeah, it depends. I guess it would depend on like whether I want to stay friends with this person or not. Well, yeah. You know what I mean? Because I mean, I think people like get quite invested in the tattoos that are on them. And that's understandable because obviously they're not cheap and they take some time to actually get done as well, you know. So I can understand why people like might, you know, feel personally quite invested in the whole thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, if a complete stranger sort of marched up to me and said, "What do you think of this?"
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think they're probably a bit dangerous if they're doing that.
I just dangerous? Them,
yeah. Well, would you just march up to complete strangers?
I wouldn't,
"What do you think of my new ink?"
No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'd be a bit frightened in that situation, actually. I'd just say, "It's brilliant, leave me alone."
Yeah, please don't kill me.
It's the best tattoo I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Take all the money you want.
Yeah.
Just not in the face.
Just not in the face. Yeah.
But getting back to the original point.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, as we said, if it's going to go on my arms, and my arms are not especially big, it has to be said.
No.
I don't think we could actually get a design on there. I think, well, a piece, an artistic piece,
right,
like an album sleeve or something like that. I don't think there's
space.
Is
that something you'd consider, though, if you had the arms?
Well, that's the kind of thing that I would go for.
An art,
well, if I had the frame, like, for it, you know?
Yeah. Any particular album artwork?
There are lots of... I mean, when I was a long time ago,
mm,
when I was sort of about 20 or something, when I was toying with the idea maybe more seriously than I am now, mm, I was thinking maybe sort of like this collage of various album sleeves.
Right.
But yeah, obviously at the age of 20, you get ideas which you later end up getting really annoyed at yourself for.
Why?
Because they're terrible.
Oh, right. All right, fair enough.
So yeah, let's just say some, like, what was that thing?
Mandala.
A mandala, but like, it's spaghetti. A spaghetti mandala, there we go.
Lovely. All right, thanks, Carl.
Cheers, Carl.
All right, Adam Mack.
Hello, Adam Mack.
What's the funniest sounding word?
Ooh.
Funniest sounding.
The funniest sounding word.
Yes.
I always, the thing is, I always assumed that the word discombobulate.
Yeah.
Because it sounds silly, I just assumed it wasn't actually a word.
Right.
And then years later, I discovered it was.
It is a pretty funny sounding word.
It is.
I like macaroon.
Macaroon. That does sound a bit daft, doesn't it?
It's a funny word. What else you got?
That's it, I think, really.
Just discombobulate.
Discombobulate.
Right.
Do you think Led Zeppelin, given what it means, do you think, like, Led Zeppelin classic Dazed and Confused?
It should have just become
discombobulated. Do you think it would have been gone down in the annals of rock history if it had been called that instead?
I'm not sure. It's like that, what is it, you know, with the Kennedy assassination, where they said it was someone shot him from a grassy knoll.
Oh, the grassy knoll.
And it's the thing Ricky Gervais talks about on his stand-up, when he's like, I don't really know what a knoll is, but I assume they called it a knoll because the word hillock is a bit too comical for a situation where someone's actually been shot.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Like, but then again, like, knoll, grassy knoll.
Grassy knoll.
It sounds a bit sort of Shakespearean almost. Do you know what I mean? And I have to confess, I've never actually heard the expression grassy knoll in any other context
than
the Kennedy assassination, now that I think about it.
Exactly. I think everyone
sort of seems to instinctively know what it means, but
it's a hillock.
Yeah.
But you can't say hillock when a president's been shot.
No, I suppose not.
You can.
You could call it a bank, a grassy bank.
A grassy bank.
But then again, maybe they, to avoid confusion, like, they didn't want people to think there was someone hiding in a bank over the road or something like that.
Yeah, I think they probably did the only thing they could in that situation and used the word knoll.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Do you reckon there was a man on the grassy knoll?
What, do I believe that he was shot by someone?
Well, he obviously got shot, but...
Yeah, but, I mean... are you saying, do I believe he was shot by someone on the grassy knoll?
Mm.
Or do I believe he was shot by someone else?
Or do you reckon it was Lee Harvey Oswald? Acting alone.
I don't. I think it was, you know, premeditated, like, not by him.
Mm.
What do you think?
See, I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
Well,
I'm on the fence on this one.
There's lots of evidence to support, or to, you know, not. Oh, sorry. To what would be the word to discount, if you like, it being him.
I think
there's all the stuff to do with the way his head went, directions of where bullets would come from and why his head went a certain way. And
yeah, I mean, I think you can make a case. I think a plausible case for me, assuming it went no further than this, would be it would have been impossible for him to inflict the injuries that he did with the number of shots he took.
Yeah.
Assuming he was acting alone.
So you do think it was you know.
But then, you see, then there's the question, is like, how many shots actually were there? And, you know, there's the police radio recording, which records however many shots.
Yeah.
But then there's some dispute about whether one of the noises is actually a gunshot or
not. Yeah, yeah.
Or is it some other sort of noise?
Will we ever know? For sure.
Goodness knows.
This question started with, what's the funniest word?
How did we get onto others? Oh, let's reverse engineer. Yeah, the grassy knoll.
The grassy knoll.
That sounds quite funny.
Yeah, and the hillock.
Well, you know, this is what we do on this programme. Yeah, we bloviate.
Bloviate.
We haven't had a good bloviate for a while, actually, haven't we?
That was the name of our first episode.
Maybe we've been getting too efficient with our answers.
maybe we need to chat a bit more shit.
Yeah, and more bloviation, which is what people seem to enjoy.
Yeah. All right, well, we're about halfway through now, so I think it's time for Jigsaw Jamboree.
X, that's just what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, me too, man. Hit the drums. Jigsaw Puzzle Strategies. Tips and hints. A guide to becoming a puzzle expert.
Oh, sweet. Well, look at those guys. Look at those guys.
Yeah, they're loving
it. You follow these.
They'll be as happy as they are as well. Yeah. At any time of year, it's good to have some ideas for family activities that are inexpensive, conversation-friendly, and indoor-orientated for sudden rainy days. So, you see, it's boiling hot. It's been hot all day.
Yeah, it's been a lovely hot day.
Best
stay indoors and do jigsaw.
Jigsaw puzzles are a great alternative to hours of television or video games.
Yeah, well, that's what I've been saying, but...
Yeah, would you rather be doing this or watching something on the telly right now?
What are we watching? What are we watching?
Something Countdown?
Mind you, it's Nick Hewitt.
Not good enough for you.
It's Nick Hewitt these days, isn't it?
I don't know.
I like Nick Hewitt, he's cool.
Alright, let's see. But if you're new to puzzles, or your puzzle strategies aren't working out as you'd hoped, or you're looking for some new tricks... Well done. Here is our guide to some jigsaw puzzle tips and hints to help you assemble puzzles like a pro.
Sweet.
So anyone listening here to
Andrew's... Yeah, if you feel like you need to raise your game a bit.
Yep. You've come to the right place, to Andrew's Jigsaw Jamboree. Hopefully these suggestions will ensure your puzzling is a fun time for all and that no puzzles are left unfinished. So here we go. Before you start...
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. Right. First tip...
Don't drop any of it on the floor.
Bollocks. So step one, choose a puzzle. Right?
Well,
I think we've done that.
That seems a bit obvious. But...
Yeah, okay. It says, well, it also says, seems obvious, right?
You didn't want to say it, mate.
But sometimes we're drawn to the 3,000-piece jigsaw puzzles when our skill level might actually be somewhere around 500 pieces.
I like the fact that they put 500 as,
as the amateur.
And we're struggling with 250.
We're half of that. And that's okay. Our brains like challenges, but not impossible ones. Build up your skill level first before tackling expert level puzzles.
This is a cheeky fucker, this guy, isn't it?
250 pieces. I wonder what he thinks that is for kids. It'll make it more enjoyable along the way and deter you from abandoning your puzzle halfway through.
Well, I don't want to say that quite. No.
Pick a puzzle that everyone participating in building it enjoys. Investment in the end product will keep everyone motivated. Are you invested in the end product?
Oh, mate, you've no idea.
I can't wait to see this map of my area that I could look at in a roadmap. Okay, by piece count. What's this then? We have broken our jigsaw puzzle stock down by piece, so count... Hang on, what? We have broken our jigsaw puzzle stock down by piece count so you can easily find the puzzle with the perfect challenge. Oh, wait, okay.
Puzzle for you and your family.
It's saying use the filters to the left or select from the most popular... Oh, wait, you can actually do puzzles, I think, on this...
On the website?
On the website, yeah.
Nah, surely they must be selling them.
It says puzzle warehouse. Yeah, maybe it is. We have starter puzzles for kids that are under 300 pieces.
Oh, mate.
Oh, brilliant. All the way up to the world's largest puzzle, which is 33,600 pieces.
No.
No. Okay, step two. Have an end plan. Well, we're not even there yet. What do you plan to do with your puzzle afterwards, Andrew?
Take a photo of it, cry a little, break it down, put it back in the box and go home.
Okay.
That's my plan at this point.
If it's going to be deconstructed and put back in the box, so you should listen to this, you require less planning than if you're going to glue and frame your puzzle.
Do people actually do that?
I think so, yeah.
My word.
Why don't you glue and frame it?
Well, no one else will get to enjoy it afterwards.
Oh, yeah, enjoy being the word.
Absolutely.
Okay. If you do glue and mount, learn learn about gluing jigsaw puzzles before you start. Gluing puzzles can be messy, so if this is your... This is not what we need. We're not gluing it. Okay, choose a workspace.
I think this is reasonably
good. This is all right. I mean, workspaces that have another function, like a dining room table, are fine if you have a puzzle mat or a piece of... I can't believe this.
This opened up an entirely new world for you, isn't it?
It's just unreal, the amount of, like... The way they're going on about it. It's like, just find a fucking table.
This is serious.
There's not really much more to it, though, is there? Apparently, there is. What is it? If your building space is permanent, but you don't like the clutter... And don't have a roll-up puzzle mat. Oh, we gotta get you one of those. You can get you one of those, mate.
Well, now we've got a better answer for Emily's question in episode 1.
Oh, there you go.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Or 7 weeks ago.
Whenever this is going in.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, listeners, you should go back and check it because it's brilliant.
So there you go, episode 6 of Andrew's Jigsaw Jamboree.
It's
moving ever closer to finality.
Inexorably rolling along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we definitely did just go and record that.
Live,
always live.
Do it live.
Should we do another 2 questions and then start our...
Let's do some questions. Because I'm not gonna lie, I don't like cocktail sausages very much.
Well,
and if I can put off cramming them into my gob.
Well, I'll tell you what, Adam Max got another 2 questions.
Excellent, let's hear it.
So we'll do his and then we'll do our see how many sausages you can fit in your face. Alright, second question. Best place overseas you've ever visited?
Ooh.
Mm.
I've been to some nice places.
Where? What's the best? That's the question.
Well, the ones which I think are good for different reasons.
Well, let's hear them.
I've been to Lake Louise in Canada.
Nice.
Which is very nice. It's sort of part of the Banff National Park.
Right.
Which I believe is in the great province of Alberta, but I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, okay.
And, I've been on like skiing trips in Europe, in the Alps and whatnot, and some absolutely breathtaking views of mountains and all the rest of it, as you would expect.
Yeah.
But that particular part of the world is very, very different in terms of scenery.
Yeah.
Basically, because there's more trees than I've seen anywhere in the entire world.
Yeah, is it unbelievable. Part of the I might get this wrong, but is it called the tiger, the strip of trees that runs around the entire Earth from a lot of it's through Canada and then Russia as well. It's like an unbroken strip of tree, obviously other than by sea.
It might be. I don't know. Mm. There's a bit of homework for your listeners.
Yeah, there you go.
One for you to Wikipedia. But it's unreal. It's like just as vast sea trees. Occasionally with gaps of it in it, you know, where the hills are kind of coming out and the mountains and roads and stuff, but. Yeah, so it's basically just white and green as far as the eye can see. And a blue sky as well.
Mm, sounds nice.
Yeah, it's really, really, really cool. And during the skiing season, the lake is actually frozen over as well.
Mm.
So you can go out and like properly frozen over as well.
Yeah.
So you can just have a wander around on it, you know.
Sounds cool.
But yeah, don't wander around on it when it's thawing because you'll probably die.
Yep. Yeah.
dying sucks.
Basically, yeah. So yeah, good.
So that's good. But I've been to this place in Turkey as well. I can't remember the name of it. I think it's called something like Pamukkale.
Okay.
Or something like that. And it's where these huge sort of sodium deposits have kind of formed these gigantic, it's made this really, really big white crystalline formation. So it's formed these sort of natural pools.
That sounds interesting.
It looks like something out of like a water park, actually.
Yeah.
It's like lots of little pools sort of all connected together, sort of set into a hill.
Mm.
And but it's actually a completely natural formation.
That sounds quite interesting.
Yeah, but don't get the water in your eyes because it hurts the buggery.
I love how like every single place you've been, you've got a warning.
There's a warning.
It.
Well, you know, you've got to be wary.
Yeah, stay safe, travellers.
Stay safe. You know, don't assume that you know it's as safe and as nice as Bromley is.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, his last question was: do you think magic, like the kind of Merlin and such, ever existed? And if so, where did it go?
I'm going to say no.
Never existed?
No.
No?
No. No.
What are you basing that on?
What am I basing it on?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm basing it on the fact that there's no good reason to believe that it ever was there. Basically.
Alright.
You know, the burden of proof really is on the person who's making the supernatural truth claim, not on the person who's denying it. You know?
Yeah.
Because I guess you've heard of Russell's teapot as a thought experiment.
Didn't we speak about this before?
I think we might have done actually, yeah.
Let's talk about it again while I'm drinking my giant tea.
Yeah. With Bruce.
Yeah. As I feared, slightly cold now near the bottom.
Oh dear.
But yeah, carry on.
If I said to you, or Adam, Matt Jarrett, or anyone else, that there's a teapot, a gigantic invisible teapot orbiting the Earth,
yeah,
and then said to you, do you think that's true or not? And you said, no. And I said, prove it.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's... Do you know what I mean? That's,
yeah, but I love that idea.
That's... You know, it does seem like a bit of a silly example, but it kind of... It very nicely... demonstrates why that's not a good way of arguing.
Yeah, no, it's pretty obvious.
And I think it's the same with like magic. It's like, I'm perfectly open to the suggestion, you know, but unless someone adduced some very, very compelling evidence that there was, we just sort of assume, for safety's sake, that there wasn't.
Yeah. I just like the idea of you going up to someone and being like, hey, you heard about this giant teapot orbiting Earth? And they're like, no. It's like, well, it's there. It's like, no, I don't think it is. Prove it.
What are you basing that on?
Yeah.
Thing is, a lot of people sort of fall for this, for this line of thinking, you know, because I think a lot of people tend to assume that, you know, it's the job of science to, you know, prove something in the negative, prove that the Loch Ness Monster doesn't exist,
or, you
know, and that's really placing unreasonable demands on the person you're talking to, the person you're arguing with, really.
One of my old teachers at school, they believed that the Earth was flat.
You actually had a flat earther as teaching?
Yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, RE teacher.
I'm flabbergasted, quite frankly. Yeah. That's a funny sounding word.
There you go, yeah.
Flabbergasted. Really?
Yeah.
Was it actually known to the school and the various authorities?
You sound worried by this.
Well, I am, because I mean, like, obviously, when you're doing RE at school, right?
Mm.
The whole point is they're meant to, well, officially, they're meant to kind of give you a balanced outlook of all the various kind of worldviews.
Well, her whole thing was that thing. We're going, well, have you been up into space and seen that it's not flat? And it's like, well, no, but the. Because she used to say, well, when you stand on a mountain and you look into the horizon, what do you see? And I'm like, well, it's flat as far as I can see, but obviously I can't see further than the curvature of the Earth.
Yeah.
But it was that same thing, you know, like trying to get us to prove it wrong.
Are you sure that this wasn't just like a thought experiment?
No, she generally believes.
Or she had actual...
No, because this wasn't even part of a lesson. This just came up in like a conversation. This is from a teacher whose one lesson was to put on the song Affirmation by Savage Garden.
Oh my word.
And then make us listen to it and then go, just have a think about that.
That was a lesson?
It wasn't the whole lesson, but that was the part of it.
And dear, we were just
like, yeah, be a good person.
Like, yeah, don't be a dickhead.
Yeah.
Is that
don't believe the earth is flat.
Yeah. Oh well, but there are actual it's still a thing, isn't it? There was that rap person a few months ago was going out on Twitter about how the earth's flat or something.
Oh really?
Yeah.
No,
and then I think Neil deGrasse Tyson turned up and said, "Don't be a Wally."
Yeah, fair enough.
Not in those exact terms, but
yeah.
There you go.
Right, I think it's time
for the
it's time for Drew versus Provender.
Lucky me.
Let's have a bell.
Ding ding ding.
Yeah, you can edit that out and put in a real bell, right?
Ring a ding ding, sir.
Right, I'm gonna open up the cocktail. Right, so everyone.
Oh, let's just check.
Just check quickly if
let's
anyone.
Just check
has.
To see if anyone's.
It might be a bit premature, but they've got a week. You know, they've got a week to guess.
I suppose that's true.
So if they haven't, if no one's, you know, had a guess yet.
Oh dear, it's not. Somebody's liked the satyrs.
They obviously don't want to perket of cocktail sausages.
No, clearly not. Well, yeah.
Well, I'll
more
get,
fool you. I'll get some say, listeners.
I'll get some people to guess, but yeah. So right, you've got a carrier bag there, so you can spit them out when you're done. But I guess you've just got to go for it. You've just got to see how many you can fit in. You don't have to swallow them. You don't have to chew. Actually, you're not allowed to chew because that would be...
Yeah, that would be cheating.
Yes. But let's see how you get on with this then.
Right, here we go.
One. Two. Three. Four. You're not serious.
More.
Right, you keep them in your mouth. Because I'm going to beat four straight away. One. Two. Three. Four. Five.
Whoa. Get in there.
Oh, six. Seven.
Good lord.
Oh, I got it out. Oh, eight.
Eight. Oh, fuck this.
Nine.
Careful, dude. This is dangerous.
Ten.
Ten? You're in double figures.
I have to get one more. Ugh.
Extraordinary. Do you want the bag?
Yeah,
I think you better. Go on then.
Oh.
Wow. The things you learn about your friends, right?
Jesus Christ. So you weren't trying hard enough, man. I was getting them all off inside the grill. Like,
you practiced this.
I haven't. So,
years of experience. I'm sure there's lots of bawdy jokes and entendres we could we could get into at this point.
So, you got four.
Yep, and you got... So you can get seven more sausages into your mouth than I
got 11.
So, yeah, good grief.
So, I guess it only really mattered if they could guess how many you could get in. So, obviously, they won't have heard this until they've given their guesses, so... Anyone that guesses four wins a pack of cocktail sausages from myself and Drew.
Well done, you earned it.
Yeah, you earned it, whoever you are.
Can I have another cup of tea, please?
Yeah, you can at the end.
No.
Because we're mid-podcast here, but I'm not getting up now.
All right, fair enough.
It will be a reward at the end. So that was the end of Drew versus Provender. Let's ring the bell to end the fight.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Well done.
Right. Next question, moving on. Robert Honeyman.
Robert Honeyman.
Yes, hello. Why are there flotation devices on planes instead of parachutes?
Ah.
Which is a good point.
It's a good point.
I think I might have an answer for this, but Obviously, what do you think?
Well, I think there are a number of good reasons I can think of why you shouldn't give everyone on the plane a parachute.
I'm going to have a cocktail sausage.
You fill your boots, son.
And eat it normally. They're not great, are they?
Not really.
Anyway, go on.
Yeah, I think there are a number of good reasons why you should not give everyone on a plane.
Yeah.
You look like you're really struggling with
that. Yeah, I think it's... You know when you've... You know when you've had 11 cocktail sausages in your mouth
at once?
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that one well.
Yeah, yeah. We've all been there. Yeah. I think after... when you try and eat one normally, it's like, no, I never want one of these in my mouth again.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
Do you reckon Gonzo will have them?
He'd probably love them, yeah.
Oh, lovely treat for Gonzo.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, yeah, why not give everyone a parachute? I think we all know...
Well, one, I mean, I think, you know, the... I suppose, one, there's the potential for parachute-based horseplay.
Yeah, this is my thought.
I mean, I think you're inevitably going to get some joker who's going to go run around playing with the parachutes and fiddling with them and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's obviously not a good idea, is it?
No.
Secondly, parachutes require a lot more... I think they require a lot more storage space.
Probably, yeah.
They probably, you know, they take up far more room in an aircraft than life jackets do, right?
Yeah. But then with... You see, what I was thinking was, if you, like, imagine, obviously, if you had a like a rubber dinghy, then ones where you pull the cord out and they inflate.
Mm.
If you had those on a plane, like, yeah, everyone had one, that could be chaos, right?
Yeah.
But with a parachute, surely when you... If you did have a parachute and you, you know... You put it on the plane,
and you pulled the cord.
It would just fall out, but it wouldn't actually take up that much space because it surely they have to kind of they take up their space as they're being filled with.
Yeah, but let's say you're in, like, let's say you're right at the back, and the, well, no, not right at the back. Let's say, like, the nearest emergency exit is like 20 rows away from you or something like that.
Yeah,
if you're the kind of pilot who's already, you know, been horsing around with your parachute and it's already fallen out, you've got to run in a blind panic with hundreds of other passengers down the aisle, yeah, around the seats, with about 50 foot of parachute trailing behind,
yeah,
you.
That's true.
It's, you know, disaster.
I do think I'd probably feel more comfortable
with a parachute.
I think maybe, because I mean the fact that they give you like a life jacket, it kind of, you know, it's implying, you know, if you land in the sea, you'll have that, but so great.
Yeah.
But I mean...
But the trouble is, though, that, you know, let's assume that they did give everybody parachutes and everyone had to bail out over the Atlantic.
Mm.
You're going to end up with about 200 people scattered throughout the Atlantic.
Yeah.
You know, all landing in completely different places.
Yeah.
In a drink with no flotation device and nothing to keep them warm.
Well, I just imagine if you do land in the sea, like...
With a parachute?
Without the flotation device, surely you're, most of the time, the impact is going to, like, kill you. Or, like, you're still in a plane underwater. You've got to then get out of the plane.
Well, I think the point is that they design the planes and they train the pilots so that they can kind of make an emergency stop on water.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they don't go straight directly down into it. Obviously, everyone will die immediately.
Yeah.
If they tried that. But they kind of come to a sort of skidding halt.
Mm.
And I think the planes are sort of designed to stay afloat for a length of time.
Yeah.
Basically.
But then you've got to get out and crack open all the doors.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, at least in that situation, everything's organised. Everyone's sort of staying within a relatively... All floating around relatively within the same area.
Ready to be gobbled up by a whale.
Yeah. but at least everyone's in a raft, everyone's got a life jacket.
They've got
flares and whistles to attract passing sailors.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I think there's obviously a reason why they give people parachutes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
And the other thing is, really, I suppose, you know, let's say you ditched it over the Atlantic and you're in your parachute and you land in the drink.
Mm.
You've got to then get out of your parachute very, very quickly, otherwise you're going to drown.
Yeah,
and I don't think you can do that without extensive training.
No,
it's like when you go up for a parachute dive for fun; they don't let you do it on your own at first. You've got to
no.
You've got to pass all your tests before you can do that.
Yeah,
Yeah, in fact, that's a good. I think that's a good enough reason. The fact that you, you know,
not really qualified.
Yeah, and besides which, you know, if the plane is descending rapidly, I can imagine that people queuing up to jump out with their parachutes, jumping out, they'd make a complete rickets of it.
Probably, yeah, it'd be chaos.
Yeah.
I think flotation devices are less chaotic. Yeah.
To be honest, Rob, this is a bloody silly question, mate.
Well. You know. You'll have to speak to Rob about this.
Yeah, we will talk about this at great length.
Yeah. Well, he's got another question.
Has it? Well, is it as silly as this one?
I don't know. You tell me. He says, why is there usually a light in the fridge but not the freezer?
Well, no, that's a good question.
He's redeemed himself, has he?
I don't know. Would a light bulb actually work in a freezer, though?
I'm sure there's a way.
But would it be too cold for it to work? Electrical equipment stops working below a certain temperature.
Yeah, that might be a good point. I mean, Sam Edwards actually commented saying there is a light in the freezer.
Is there?
I don't know whether he's talking about, because Emma and him have just got a new fridge.
Oh, right.
Fridge freezer. So maybe their new one has a fridge.
It's a fridge freezer, though.
Freezer light. I believe, yeah.
But, okay, but is the light, does it work for the freezer part? Or just
the
fridge
part?
No, I
haven't examined it.
Well, next time you're around, you know. Take a picture and send me a text. Yeah. And, you know,
I mean, I was around on the weekend, but it didn't cross my mind. Like, should have given it a proper once over. But I still don't really understand. Why do you need a light in the fridge?
To help you see what's in there.
Yeah, but when? When is it that dark?
Well, I mean, yeah, you don't really need it, do you? I mean, it's not going to make or break the functionality of the fridge, is it?
I mean, if you're...
It's just convenient.
But, I mean, if you're waking up at, like, 1 a.m. and you need... And you're like, I need to eat something. This is probably not the right way of eating at 1 a.m. in the morning. Is it? Why do you need it?
Well, you know, it doesn't need to be... It doesn't necessarily have to be just 1 a.m, does it? It could be any time of the day.
I'm just talking about a time of the day that's dark.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's just convenient, you know. You don't know what the lighting situation in everyone's kitchen is, do you? It's like a courtesy light when you open a car.
No.
You know, it just comes on to, so it's sort of like a friendly, hello, how are you doing?
But to me that's slightly different.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, but to me that's different, because you drive at night, but you don't necessarily eat at all hours of the night.
Yeah, it depends.
Wait till morning fatty.
What if you do shift work? What if you do nights or something like that?
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, then a light and a fridge.
I'm saying on your way home.
But then, you know, you'd only eat really bad takeaway food then, surely.
Not necessarily.
Well, is there anything healthy you can get, like, at 2 a.m. or whatever?
I'm sure you could find a way.
I've never encountered anything even remotely healthy.
What about go to a kebab shop and get a pit of bread and hummus?
Do they do that?
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah, come on, man. This shows like how that you don't really branch out when you go to a kebab shop.
But I generally
I'm not saying that I do.
I generally only go to a kebab shop when there's one thing on my mind.
Yeah.
I'm talking about kebabs, you dirty.
Yeah. I'm feeling a bit frisky.
Yeah.
Time for a kebab.
Yep. No. I only go into kebab shops generally when it's, you know,
when you're feeling particularly shit about yourself, and you're like, they can't get any worse.
They can't get any worse. I think comfort eating and alienation is the way forward at this point.
Yeah.
Basically that. And in that situation, don't want to muck around with hummus and pita bread.
No.
You want some horrible greasy meat and some some absolutely savage chili sauce.
Yeah.
And half a ton of salad crammed in to the pit of bread.
Yeah, punched in
with one of those chili pepper things, pickled chilies.
Yeah,
and had a bit of lemon to squeeze over the entire lot.
Yeah, I've never done that.
When you get a kebab, do you take it home, or do you tend to eat it as you're walking?
I take it home.
Do you put it on a plate?
I set out very specific times for my kebabs.
I thought you were going to say you set out a place for yourself, like a knife and fork.
No. I leave it in the box.
A napkin.
I leave it in the box because if you take a kebab out of its, you know, little box and put it on a plate, then it doesn't get that joyful congealing.
Ooh, no.
Where stuff's... No, that's part of
that,
it.
That orange gunk that forms
at the
bottom
of it. I told you about my specialty when I go to a kebab shop. It's cheesy chips on the bottom. doner meat all over the top with garlic sauce and chili sauce.
Christ,
I'm and then it, but it's amazing because like there's parts where you get chips, cheese, and garlic sauce all merged together
with the meat.
With some meat, and then you get the chili sauce with the meat and some cheese, and like, oh god,
I'm getting right. Set, calm down.
I'm getting excited.
You're getting a bit unnecessary over there. No, just no. You see, I tend to.
No, if you're going
to
do something wrong, do it right. Is what I say.
Okay, there's that. I mean, I tend to when I get a kebab, I don't go for cheesy chips. I mean, why would you ruin perfectly good chips?
How you don't ruin them? You make them better.
Nah,
you do.
Chips generally are unimprovable.
Cheese,
salt and vinegar.
You can improve everything with cheese.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Most things.
But when I do take them home, I actually do tend to put them on a plate, actually. Well, the reason is, because obviously if you're going in manually with a kebab,
yeah,
which is, I assume, what most people do,
mm.
they just go everywhere. And I find that the foam tray is not enough to
sort of... No, but what I do is...
Otherwise, you end up with, like, debris all over the shop, don't you?
I put my box on a plate.
Okay, that's one way of doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one way of doing it. But do you find that you have to, like, stab it? You have to fork out the meat and the salad first before you can pick it up?
I don't get salad.
Why not?
Waste of time. Like I said, do it right.
But the salad generally doesn't cost any more, does it?
No, but so it gets in the way.
So it's free food.
It gets in the way.
Yeah, but no, it doesn't.
It does.
It adds a nice crunch to an otherwise... It
depends what kind of kebab you get.
As I've said before, as with hamburgers, I like the salad to add a nice crunch to proceedings.
Yeah, that, I understand.
You know.
But, you know, kebab, I just want filthy meat, ridiculously hot sauce, and some cheesy chips. Don't want any salad there, messing it up, getting in the way, having to scoop it all out of the way before I get to the good shit. That's my personal preference.
Yeah, whatever. I'm, you know.
Yeah. What do you get from a kebab shop?
It depends on how drunk I am and...
But if you're really drunk...
If I'm absolutely hammered and feeling particularly dreadful
yeah.
about myself and life yeah, yeah. in general. And we've all been there.
Yeah, yeah.
I just go for like a large doner. And...
In a pitter?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. With all the salad.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just the kind of guy I am.
Mm.
And usually chili sauce or right. garlic, depending on the mood.
Yeah, yeah, you fair know. Enough. Oh, that garlic sauce we had in Liverpool.
Oh, yeah, there's a very good garlic sauce in Liverpool.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah. Do you reckon that's just Liverpool in general or just that one
maybe,
kebab place?
I don't know, maybe just that one kebab place.
But... I seem to recall, actually, that we went there for chips, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because we were all a bit short of cash at that point.
And a bit drunk.
And a few people had garlic sauce in their chips.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, everyone who did, literally, we'd walked around about, like, 30 metres down the road.
Yeah.
Like, fuck me, this garlic sauce is amazing. yeah. And, like, turned around and marched back in, yeah, like, yeah, to yeah. congratulate them on the garlic sauce.
yeah.
And, like, it was who are these? They're probably thinking, oh, these fucking cockney wankers.
yeah. Yeah, well, there's a tip for people. If you want the good garlic sauce, guys, you're Liverpool. All right, well, last question, Emily Walton.
Oh, Emily Walton.
She simply says, what's happening to Bromley?
What's happening to Bromley?
Yeah, and I think she's talking about the sort of, you know, how it's becoming sort of more cosmopolitan. And a bit
The gentrification of Bromley.
Where she's I don't think she's happy
about it. Yeah, it's not very good.
Industry.
Moves forward. You can't stop progress and all the other sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we've lost anything particularly vital in Bromley? Well, I suppose the way that some of the pubs have changed is maybe not that, conducive to...
That might be the main thing, because I don't have a problem with, like, all the new restaurants and things like that, because I never really went to that many restaurants before, because there wasn't many that I would enjoy. But now there's a few that I've tried recently that are new.
We've got a Nando's now.
Well, and I was talking about, like, Cow and Pig... That's really nice, and the gourmet burger kitchen's quite nice.
Crazy thinking there's a Wagamama's now as well.
There's a Wagamama's, Giraffe, Byron Burger.
What's Giraffe?
I haven't been there, but that's apparently quite a popular one.
Right.
Elliot works there.
Is that a franchise thing?
I think Giraffe? So, yeah.
Right.
But this is what I mean. I have no problem with that, because there was nothing in that little space before, and now there's about six or seven new restaurants that I haven't tried, so I don't see the problem with that. I mean, the pub side of things I get, because like we used to like our dirty old Swan and Mitre.
I think the thing is,
and now it's a fucking,
I think we get quite sentimental about it because there was a particular social scene in that time and that place.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's more,
and it was mostly related to like the bands that played in those pubs at that time.
Yeah.
You know, that was always good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I suppose that
those were great days.
We don't really have that anymore.
No, and
which
more,
that is a
and
shame.
More's the pity. I mean, if you're an original band in Bromley, I don't know where you can play a gig in Bromley now. I genuinely wouldn't know where to start.
No,
unless you play some really sort of gratingly anodyne lounge jazz nonsense that people don't want to hear, so you have to turn it down really, really low.
Well,
which is probably why they do it. Turn down really low.
Maybe, but I mean. Dread Center, for example, still play at the Partridge sometimes. That's Julian's band.
But they're not an original band, though, are they?
Well, original Bromley band.
I mean, as in they play original songs, their own material.
They do covers and stuff.
So that's what I mean. Unless you're a covers band, I don't know where you can play a gig in Bromley at this point.
Well, yeah, I suppose that side of things is a bit of a shame. But, I mean,
which is not to dismiss covers bands, you know.
No, of course. But we always find, I think as soon as like now everyone goes to the Railway, and even though the Railway has changed as well, it's still now become the most comfortable.
Yeah, no, I don't mind going to the Railway at all. No. I like what it's become, but you know, at the same time, I do miss the fact they get bands in, you know.
Yeah, they do. They still get bands in, but it's like, I know it's not the same.
Yeah, but when are you next going to see Diesel King at the Railway?
Yeah, I know.
Or Desert Storm, or Sons of Merrick. Or us, or Silas, or
no, it's true.
Or Zocalo, or, you know.
Yeah, you have to travel a bit further afield now.
Yeah, and it's a pain in the bum, basically. Yeah.
Well, you know, you never know what's around the corner. They might build a new venue in Bromley. I actually said, because they're building a cinema down by Bromley South, a new one.
Right, okay.
I feel like they should turn the cinema up at Bromley North into a music venue.
I suppose they could.
That would be perfect.
They'd have to get the right papers and stuff.
All that bullshit doesn't matter. But if they could do it, that's a perfect place for it. It's just outside of London.
They'd have to strip out all the seats.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, if they can, you know.
Well, I think they'd have to turn it into a nightclub, really, wouldn't they? Really.
Well,
the thing is, I mean, how many screens have they got in there? Like four? Two or three?
I thought they had about six or seven in there.
Really? In the Bromley Bromley Empire?
I thought it was a bit more than that.
Maybe they've got something now, they've got anything like that. I think it's only three, to be honest, mate.
No.
Yeah, because the one that you go up the stairs for, that's one.
No, and there's two up there.
Is it?
I'm sure there is.
I'm pretty sure it's just the one, and that's screen one's the big one.
Yeah.
And then downstairs there's another two, maybe?
Oh, I don't know.
There's some, but, you know, would each of those be a stage?
Would I don't know, but I just mean it's a big enough space that you could turn it into a venue.
Yeah, I think it's too big, though.
You're just being fussy, mate.
Yeah, evidently.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be for us. I'm talking about just a music venue for, like, big bands. It's just outside of London.
Do you reckon they'd come to Bromley?
Easy enough to get to. If there was a venue there, maybe they would.
Is there a market there, though?
Yes! Of course, like, it's just outside of London, for a start.
Who would you book to open the place, then? The maiden gig.
Gojira. They could definitely play there.
They'd come to Bromley, would they?
Why wouldn't they, if the venue was there?
If they knew about Bromley, maybe they wouldn't.
Maybe not.
Yeah. But then we'd say, hey, Joe, just wait a minute. We've got a Wagamama.
Sacre bleu.
I don't need my rarefied French palate anymore.
No.
Fucking Wagamamas, mate. Get right on it.
All right, well, that was the last question, so it's time for your joke.
Well, yeah, because nobody seemed to like last week's joke.
No, it was far too long.
Which I slaved over, I have to say. Yeah. I've made some adjustments to my style and delivery, and if you don't like it, I don't care, quite frankly.
Cool.
Get your own podcast and tell your own stupid jokes, I don't care.
Go on.
Right, so.
Andrew's joking.
You'll like that. I love you, really, listeners. You'll like this one.
All right.
How do priests make holy water?
Go on.
They boil the hell out of it.
See, I enjoyed that a lot more than last week's, and it took about 12 minutes less to tell.
How long? Was it about 15 minutes last week?
It was about 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was a big one.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And not funny. Whereas that was short and sweet and pretty funny.
Good.
Well done.
Yeah.
You can get a gold star for that, or a cocktail sausage if you fancy it.
I prefer a gold star, quite frankly.
Okay. All right, well, that was episode 6.
26.
6 of season 3.
Oh, God, so there's only 4 left in this run.
Only 4 left, which means there's only 4 jamborees left, 4 jokes. And I've got an idea for a feature next week, which means we might not need as many questions, because I'll be asking some questions of my own.
My word.
To Mr. Drew. If anyone wants to get to know Andrew a little bit better, then next week is the one to tune into. We'll be delving into his life a little more intimately than we have in the past. Don't you look really worried?
No, I'm fine, mate.
All right, good.
No, I'm fine.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Just,
well,
you know.
Yeah. On that note, we will. Yeah, we'll also obviously. When we know, we'll announce next week who's won the box of cocktail sausages as well.
Yes.
Judging by your guesses on how many sausages you ate. We now know that it was 4 that he managed to do, which is frankly pretty poor.
Well,
and
What were you hoping for with this exercise?
Well, more like what I did, about 11 or 12. About 11, you know. 4 well, is frankly...
You've got a bigger gob than I have, clearly.
No, you just didn't put the effort in, mate. Mm. I saw you. You should put 4 in and was like, eh.
That'll do. I did say I don't like cocktail sausages.
Neither do I, but I've still managed more than twice as many as you.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
All right, well, that's the end. Thank you again for all the questions. Keep them coming
for
next week. Cheers,
guys.
If we don't use all the questions next week, you'll know why, but we will roll them over to episode 8. Yeah, it'll be 7 next week, wouldn't it? Or 27, whatever.
It will be 27 next week.
Lovely stuff.
Our podcast will be the same age as you.
Kind of. Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
But
just all right. Go with it.
All right, yeah, I'm going with it. All right, thanks a lot, listeners.
Cheers, guys.
Do you want to end with your little quote?
Okay. Stay wordy.
There it is. See you later, guys.
Bye.
After the old gearbox.